You know, Derek, a lot of things have been said about the Carolina Hurricanes before the season, and this is our first time back behind the microphones since opening night. So I would like to officially welcome you, sir, to the first regular season Cheaters Never Win of the Rod Brind'Amour coaching area. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Mike, and I might blow your mind here for a second.
Okay, please do.
This team is fun.
Whoa.
No, you didn't let me finish, Mike.
Okay.
This team is fun, and here's the part that's going to blow your mind, because you already knew the team was fun. You already knew that.
I knew this team was fun.
This team is fun, Mike.
Yep.
And I love it.
What?
I told you it's going to blow your mind.
I have no idea what to do. Who is you and what has you done?
This isn't a Scooby-Doo episode, Mike. You can't peel my face off. It's not somebody else underneath this, because I don't know why anyone would pick this visual, but I love it.
So, Derek, I think there's going to be a new thing on the podcast every week.
What's that?
Where we talk about how much we like to watch this team have. Dance along with us, everybody.
Oh my God.
I know you're in the car. If there were like a video version of this, you would see me like my 4-year-old's behind me. I'm dropping it like it's hot.
Well, you're dropping it. I don't know what temperature it is.
Lukewarm?
The music on this reminds me of that video that somebody bashed up of some kind of trap music dubstep to a horrible boating accident. Where everybody gets tossed around the boat. That's kind of what I pictured you doing there, if like.
Wow.
Not that I'm trying to wish harm upon you, but that's the way you were moving.
I'm glad to see that you're back, Derek.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, there he is. He's back. Still having fun. We're still having fun. Hope you're having fun. Gosh darn it, the Carolina Hurricanes team are having fun. We might be, you know, inadvertently editing this podcast for lots of extra fun words for the kids, because like Wu-Tang, the Carolina Hurricanes is also for the children.
Okay.
I mean, Derek, the Carolina Hurricanes had a 13-goal game inside PNC Arena, and we didn't leave wondering how the other team put a 9 spot on us.
That was nice.
Oh my gosh, it was great.
It was real nice. That game, so even though I wasn't there, I watched that game on TV, and I especially, like, I was in and out in the first two periods, but Mike, I turned the TV on when the Canes were down 5-4. So you're welcome, everybody. I just want to say that. But that game reminded me a lot of, gosh, was it the year we won the cup, Mike, that we had
06 was the year we won the cup. Thanks, Derek.
You're welcome. That 8-6 game against Philly.
It just felt
a lot like that, where there was just like all this goal scoring, and we kind of didn't know what the heck to do. It's like, where is all of this offense coming from, and can it stay forever?
Yeah, it was as we opened up the season, and all of the national media outlets were saying, well, the Carolina Hurricanes have new coaching, and they've got this really great defense, but who's going to score? And as we left the arena after opening night, a 2-1 loss against what is going to be an absolutely miserable New York Long Islanders team. I think we all maybe had that feeling, right? Like, this team was good. It was a decent game. It was kind of fun to watch. We might have tailgated our faces off. Mm. But where's the goals going to come from?
So, Mike, I know you had to leave early that game.
I did.
And I understand. So I didn't get to tell you this, but in your stead, Jack was to my left, and I told him, and other people behind me heard it. So, and I want to take this time to tell all of our listeners, to tell you as well, Mike, as a friend of mine.
Please do.
I feel personally responsible for the loss on opening night, and here's why.
I like where this is going. Please continue.
Right before overtime started, I looked over to Jack, and I said, Jack, I hope I am wrong.
Hey, we have a third member here in the spirit of Wu-Tang and the Hurricanes being for the children. My children, one Master Finn, in studio with us tonight. Finn, say hi to everybody.
Hi. Perfect.
Perfect.
So right before overtime started, I leaned over to Jack and I said, I hope I'm wrong about this, but the Islanders are going to score 47 seconds into overtime.
Derek, how long did it take the Islanders to score?
Exactly 47 seconds.
Derek, can I ask you a follow-up question?
Yes.
Where did you predict the Carolina Hurricanes would finish the season?
In the playoffs.
I think that's all we can hope for, right?
So perhaps what led to a poor outcome on opening night can lead to a good outcome later on. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, no.
But I just wanted to take that time to apologize to you and to all of our listeners.
Yeah. And folks, we've got a lot of things to talk about on this episode of Cheaters Never Win. We're going to talk a little bit about opening night. We're going to give some thanks for the opening night tailgate. We've got a Islanders, Columbus, Rangers, Canucks, all four games in the first week to talk about. We've got a couple of games to talk about coming up over the weekend. Matt Soma, some of you may know him better as at Canes Prospects, also joins us to give us a little view into what's happening down on the farm with the Charlotte Checkers, as well as some of the Hurricanes prospects out there in prospect land. And we've got all sorts of fun stuff to talk about tonight, Derek.
And I can't wait.
I still don't know who my podcast partner is. Let's see if this works. Hey, Derek.
Yeah.
Hit that X button.
Yeah, buddy.
Derek, it even feels a little bit different talking over this intro now that Tom Dundon has told us we get to have fun watching the Carolina Hurricanes wear that green whale sweater.
Mm.
Maybe even do it outdoors next year over at Carter Finley Stadium.
Are we going to get in trouble for doing it outdoors?
As long as no one takes video of it, I'm okay with it if you are.
Deal.
That's it, folks. Welcome to this. Another edition of Cheaters Never Win, your favorite longest-running podcast champion of Raleigh ever. Why are we the champs? Because those good-for-nothing, non-fun-loving Canes cast guys aren't willing to come to the worldwide headquarters and face us one-on-one. Yes, they want to face me. My name is Mike.
I'm Derek.
And, this broadcast is brought to you by the good folks of Bottle Mix. I've not been there. I have not had a beer yet. But obviously, I also barely have a grasp on the English language. Podcast also brought to you by Dawn from Fathom Realty. She is at Caniac Realtor.
Caniac underscore Realtor.
She's respecting the hell out of that underscore. This podcast is also still a proud partner of the Sports Channel 8 family.
Yeah!
Yeah, and Derek, we got to say a big thank you to our friends over at Sports Channel 8. They were instrumental in making sure that we had all of the sponsors that we needed for the big opening night tailgate. So a quick shout out one last time to the opening night tailgate sponsors. That would be at Mason Jar Brewing, I believe.
Yeah, they are at MJ Lager Co.
Okay.
I believe is their Twitter handle. But
yeah, Mason Jar Brewing brought out some phenomenal beers. The good folks over at New Belgium, as they have done the last couple of seasons, made sure we were fully stocked with their delicious local beer brewed right in the North Carolina mountains. The good folks of Donato's believe. Brought what I believe to be what's the technical measurement, Derek?
I believe it's a furlong of pizzas,
if you're in the UK, it might be a metric shit ton.
Yeah, it could be a depth of pizzas. It was a lot of pizza, and it was all so good.
Yes, so thank you to all of those guys for really just making sure we had all of the goodness.
And if I may, I would say the best way to show those sponsors some love is to enjoy their food, enjoy their beer. So if you enjoyed their beer, go to Mason Jar Lager Company, go to New Belgium, go to Bottle Mix, buy those beers, go to Donato's, buy those pizzas, and then celebrate by opening up one of your favorite beers from either of those breweries that you purchased at Bottle Mix while eating a Donato's pizza in your brand new house that you got from Dawn.
Yes.
That would be the day. You know what? If anyone does that, send us photographic evidence that was your day. And we'll do something amazing for you.
Yes, we will absolutely do something amazing for you. So, again, thank you. Opening night tailgate, absolutely phenomenal. It was a long day. It was warm. It was fun. For those of you who made it out, thank you so much. close to 200 people again, I think,
I
at the,
I don't
at the
know
close
it was
of the
that
tailgate.
Many.
It was massive. Thousands upon thousands of people. But yeah, no, absolutely tons of fun. Thank you guys for coming out. Opening night game was a fun game. You know, the Canes came out. They played hard. As Rod Brindamore said post-game, did not have a ton of luck in game one. And you know, I really left the arena and kind of woke up the next morning going, gosh, is this... Are we still cursed?
Mike, I'm going to do something horrible right now.
Do it.
I'm probably going to jinx this team for their game on Saturday night.
Please do.
As a head coach, Rod Brindamore has not suffered a regulation loss.
Rod Brindamore is current... the Carolina Hurricanes under Rod Brindamore, if my math is correct, are currently 8-0-2.
That is my math as well, 8-0-2.
Yeah, so points in 10 straight games.
That'll do in most countries.
Yes, it will. So, but again, we want to. I know Pat would hate this. He is at PatClark27 over on the Twitters. the culture change and the locker room change is palpable, not only for what's happening on the ice, but what's happening around the ice, right? So, after that first home win, and Rod Brindamore, if you were following some of the things that the Carolina Hurricanes were putting out post-game, said, hey, you know, glad everybody, you know, it wasn't necessarily everything that we wanted in a game, but glad we came out on top, and Bill's here to take care of you. And by Bill, he meant strength and conditioning coach Bill Berniston. And there were pictures later on throughout the evening of guys like Michael Ferland and guys like Jacob Slavin who were doing the traditional Rod Brindamore post-game workout.
Gotta love it.
So, and again, in there, working together, pulling together. So, just absolutely phenomenal, Derek.
I think some of that also may, while we're just handing out credit for everyone around the organization, I wonder how much of that credit goes to Mike Foreman and the marketing team and Dan, who is heading up the Canes social media now, who are doing a great job of letting us see more and being more interactive with fans. I wonder how much of the credit is due there. Maybe those things were happening under Bill Peters. I have my doubts. I don't know. But we are getting to see more of what's going on, and it's bringing the fans in, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hate to keep beating that drum, but we'll talk about drums here in just a few minutes, Derek.
Yeah, let's keep beating this till it's red and tired, Mike.
All right, so let's follow up this. You know, the Canes had one of the... Again, I don't want to call it a super difficult home opener stretch, but three games in four nights to start the season is not the easiest. Now, we did have some lighter weight opponents. We had to play the New York Islanders, the New York Rangers, and one of the Metropolitan Division favorites coming into the preseason in the Columbus Blue Jackets, who had rested Sergei Bobrovsky on opening night. The guy who has traditionally just owned the Carolina Hurricanes. Is it own or owns?
Owns.
Owns, yeah. If you came to the live podcast, you know it's owns.
Quick aside.
Yes.
On the live podcast, for those who asked and weren't able to make it, we did record that podcast. We'll talk more about Sarah Sivian later. She's fantastic. We did record the podcast with her. However, the acoustics in that room work great for a live showing. They did not work great for the recording setup that we have. It was essentially an echo chamber.
Yeah.
So the audio, unfortunately, was not salvageable. But thank you to those who did come out to the Rialto, enjoyed the live podcast, and enjoyed Slapshot with us. So, Mike, I'm sorry. Back to what you're saying about Bobrovsky owning the Canes.
Yeah, Bobrovsky has traditionally owned the Canes, and coming off of a back-to-back, going into Columbus, first travel game, having only put up one goal in the first game, it kind of felt like, oh no, here we go again. But then the Canes came out and won a 3-1 game against Columbus.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
After a really funky start, too, where the game was delayed, what, 15, 20 minutes because they don't know how to work the lights?
Solid 25 minutes after a lighting malfunction. And I hope if that threw off Sergei Bobrovsky, we can figure out a way to have Chris Greenlee, head of Kane's Vision, to rig a 25-minute delay every single time Sergei Bobrovsky is on Carolina Hurricanes ice. That would be the greatest troll job ever.
And I think I speak for both of us, Mike, that, Chris, we believe in you. We know you listen. We believe in you. You can do this.
So
say there's a Freon leak or something.
Well,
ooh,
that might hit a little bit too close to home.
Hold on. If Tom, Mr. Workrate, is listening to this, and I know he is, can we please have a P.D. Pablo Freon leak remix? Like, that's your new parody song.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. But, just everything about that Rags game is everything that we wanted. I mean, it began the coming out party of the greatest rookie in Carolina Hurricanes history. We're thinking about the same guy, aren't we? That's right. Number 13, Warren Fogle, a.k.a. McLovin.
Yeah.
We're going to call him McLovin. We can't stop. We've been calling him McLovin since the day he was drafted. We hope it sticks.
I think it's stuck based on the GIFs on the Twitter machine.
Yes.
Yeah, it has absolutely stuck.
Yeah. Huge fan of what Warren Fogle has done. Is there a guy who is playing harder in every 45-second shift than he's on the ice than anybody that we've seen since? And Derek, I'm gonna bait you here. Since number 59, Chad LaRose.
Oh, God. What, Mike? No.
I mean, he's
let's not,
going.
Let's not do that. Fogle has 5 goals in less than 48 games.
You're right.
Or fewer than 48 games. Sorry.
I am a big, big fan. That line right now: Warren Fogle, Justin Williams, Jordan Staal.
I mean, that is the new. Go ahead, try and take the puck from us.
Yeah.
Line.
Yeah. I personally can't wait until that line has to face Patrice Bergeron. Because, I mean, that is literally, I mean, that is Hogan Andre WrestleMania 3, right? I mean, are they going to do it? Are they going to keep possession for an entire 45 seconds? Can they keep Patrice Bergeron away from the puck? I think they can.
I mean, it's going to be fun. I love what I'm seeing out of Fogle. Obviously, love what we're seeing, and it really started in earnest Sunday night against the Rags with Svechnikov with his first of 2 game-winning goals on the season. That was outstanding. Natchez getting adjusted, but we saw it as early as opening night. Natchez can make some things happen with the puck. It's just putting the whole game together, being responsible with the puck, as well as making great moves, because he creates space so well. It's just that he's had a few, you know, poorly timed turnovers. Not that a turnover is ever well timed, but it's just like he's learning the game. He's still, what, 19 years old?
Yeah. I mean, he's a young kid on a line that has not yet found its momentum. And I think when it does find its momentum, I don't know if those are the players that are going to help Martin Natchez find his momentum. The problem, I think, that faces not only Mr. Natchez, but this coaching staff, is how do you break up any of the other 3 lines that seem to be gaining momentum with every game? You know, Michael Ferland is doing really good things for Aho and Tavo. I don't think Tavo's had a great game yet. You know, he's had good games.
Nobody's been good.
But he has not had that kind of great big breakout game yet. Aho's cracked the score sheet from the goal perspective in October, first time in his career. So good to see there. But Ferland fits, I think, really well with that line.
And he drives the net. That's a beautiful thing about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Love the fur daddy. And you know, at this point, the Svechnikov Martinuk Wallmark line is just coming out of nowhere and just racking up points with abandon. I don't know how long that's going going to continue. I also don't know how long they're going to be able to contain Mr. Svechnikov in that role. But Rod Brind'Amour has shown that when you play hard, he will roll four lines. Mm-hmm. And really the only person who's gotten stapled to the bench thus far has been Phil DiGiuseppe the other night after a couple of bad second period penalties.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. And I really like the way, you know, before opening night, I go, Svechnikov on the fourth line? Really? And then as I stopped to think about it, I went, okay, well, that's fine. You'll give him some even strength time where he can play against a, you know, should be inferior defensive pairings from the other team. And he's getting prime power play time. It's a great way to work him into the NHL so you're not putting an undue burden on someone who has all the potential in the world, but is still 18 years old and has never played a regular season NHL game. So I like the way this is coming about. He's played four games. He has 4 points. He has 2 game-winning goals. Game-winning goals are kind of a weird stat, but you know what? It's fun.
No, I mean, everything.
And yes, I am hammering that word home tonight.
How can you not?
Right?
And Derek, we've not talked about what happened after the Rangers game.
Yeah, I say,
that has basically turned all of the hockey men on their ear. At the end of the Rangers game, if you haven't seen it by now and you're listening to this podcast, welcome to hockey for the first time ever, because we have no idea how you found us without actually having seen what happened in the Carolina Hurricanes post-game celebration. But, Derek, unfortunately, you were not able to make the Rangers game live and in person.
No.
After watching that amazing 4-goal third period that the Carolina Hurricanes put forth, the Carolina Hurricanes won 8-5 against the New York Rangers. Now, again, it was indeed against the backup. It was not against Hank Lundqvist, but it was just a game that the Rangers showed their speed, but also showed their lack of defensive acumen. The fact that they do have a new coach, they are definitely a team in transition. But the Carolina Hurricanes showed depth amongst lines. They showed scoring prowess. And then Justin Williams decided to show his hashtag leadership. What I thought was going to be a simple, you know, hey, everybody, let's get together and let's, you know, do the circle and let's salute the fans. I noticed fairly quickly that everybody was lining up along the blue line. And I was like, well, this is kind of different. It's kind of cool. They're going to wave the stick at the blue line. And then came the clap. And I was like, is he doing the Viking slow clap? Is he doing the skull clap? Because we've tried multiple times up in section 328 to kind of get this Viking clap started. Elias Lindholm's brother actually helped us try to start that the last couple of seasons. And then they took off and I said, well, they're just going to go to the other blue line and kind of salute the other side of the ice. And that's kind of cool too, right? But then they kept skating, and I was like, what is happening? What is happening? Derek, I'm not going to lie. When those men jumped into the boards, I teared up. Something, literally, I looked at my beautiful bride, and something inside me kind of turned loose. There was this release of just tension and just something that... It was like running into a long lost love and not missing a beat.
It was fantastic. And even from the seat of my couch, watching that post game celebration was really, really cool. It was the most different thing I'd seen from this organization in a long, long time, and the players. And it seemed like you said, it was just a genuine release of emotion. I think I am glad that Justin Williams called an audible. The skull clap would have been cool, and from what it sounds like, that was the plan, to just do the clap. And you can tell by watching it, because I may have watched that somewhere between 7 and 7,000 times. When Williams starts the charge down the ice, you can tell everybody else is like, all right, screw it, let's go with him, he's the captain. But that wasn't part of the original plan. That was Williams calling an audible, and I think it added so much. I think the skull clap on its own would have been cool, it would have been different, I may have enjoyed it, I guarantee you I wouldn't have enjoyed it nearly as much as what they're doing now. And it's so much fun. And I would say, you know, from the reaction I see on the internets, the overwhelming majority of people love it. it's fun. There are even a lot of Canadian media. I was listening to the 31 Thoughts podcast with Merrick and Friedman today. They love it. Sure, there are some who might want to poo-poo it or say, you know, hockey's, this is a sport. This is serious business. Act like you've been there. Shut up.
Or even, I listened to a podcast that I'm not going to name by names. They had interviewed a current Carolina Hurricanes goaltender, and it was the second time I had listened to this podcast, and it was the second time I regretted listening to this podcast. But they had a take of, you know, it felt forced. It felt like that the owner was pushing something down on them, and if they didn't find a way to do something fun with the fans, that he was going to change to single-ply toilet paper and make them ride the bus.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool story, bro. Go back to, you know, snicking cocaine off of a hooker's ass. I don't care what you do.
Wow, that escalated quickly, Mike.
I detest that website. I detest that podcast. I listened because I wanted to hear my goalie talk. And
may I make a suggestion?
Yes.
No matter who they interview again that you might like, don't listen.
I can't do it. I won't.
Good.
I absolutely won't. So, Derek, it was fun. This Canes team is fun. And I think there's fun in the future. We've got a lot of things we could talk about. We've got a lot of your cheat mail to get to as well. But I think now we need to go to the Dawn with Fathom Realty guest.
This is Dawn Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
Derek, beginning of the season, so much on the line for the young guys. We figured no better time to bring the preeminent guy covering Canes prospects for the Carolina Hurricanes than on Twitter. Shocking. He is at Canes Prospects. He is Matt Soma. Matt, welcome back to Cheaters Never Win, sir. First question, why is Andrei Svechnikov so good?
I mean, he dunked on Elias Pettersson, so you just have to give him the Calder now. I think those are the rules.
Yeah, it should be a contest. Like, okay, so now Svechnikov has the throne. If someone were to outman Svechnikov the way he did Pettersson, then that person is the temporary Calder winner, and it just goes that way through the season. I like that approach.
Yeah, basically, yeah, it's kind of like goes Brown, greatest GM of all time approach.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah, or like a Royal Rumble type thing for you wrestling fans out there. I think that's what it is, right?
Sure.
Did I get it right?
Oh, look, one of the Tiger Beat kids wanted to jump into wrestling with us. This is adorable. Thank you, Matt.
I didn't attempt.
Hey, much like Patrick Brown, it's the effort that counts.
Yes. The effort that keeps earning you a one-way, two-way contract.
Hey, well,
year in, year out.
At some point, it'll land me a multi-year deal in Calgary for more money than I'm worth. So, Matt, want to ask you so far, how are the Checkers looking?
Well, they played a team in Rochester and beat them pretty soundly both times. Nicholas Waugh had a whopping 6 points to earn him player of the week. And Zeljkovic did well, saving 56 shots and having a .933 save percentage. So, I mean, the Czechs have done really well. Not a whole lot of production through two games from a lot of the rookies and a lot of the guys that you kind of expect to score, but it's just two games, and so I can't read really too much into it. But it seems like Nicholas Waugh is looking like a pretty surefire NHL prospect now.
So you know, the guy who was sitting in the Nicholas Waugh shoes last year just happens to be the guy who's sitting on the wing of Jordan Staal's line, and that is none other than Warren Fogel. What do you attribute Warren Fogel's, you know, meteoric rise to the top of the National Hockey League rankings in the first week of the season? He tore it up last year in the AHL, but what did you see out of Warren Fogel last year, Matt, that basically led you to believe that this kid could actually do what he's doing so early in the season?
It's been what I've seen from him since he's been drafted. drafted, and that's just consistent hard work. Like, you'll never see him take a shift off, and he's always going to be out there busting his ass and just doing whatever he can to be annoying, quite, you know, honestly. And he's going to be that guy that really annoys you in any zone that you put him in, and that's kind of the guy he's been since we drafted him. And I think that has a lot to do with his success. And I mean, you see him in the AHL last season, 4 shorthanded goals in the first half of the season. And, you know, a lot of that just has to do with him just forechecking on the penalty kill. And that's something that not a lot of players do. And teams are having a really hard time adapting to that because they're not really used to that sort of aggressive forechecking, because most of the time, a lot of rookies and really veterans too just play kind of passively when it comes to forechecking. So I think that has a lot to do with how he's been so far, but
I mean, his
I do expect a little bit of regression.
Next level so far, Matt. So the question is, with a motor, with being an annoying, never take a day off player, why didn't Warren Fogle get a fair shot last year with the Carolina Hurricanes?
Maybe the AHL doesn't keep track of plus minus that well. I don't know. That seemed to be a thing that the management was always concerned about last year.
That's kind of ridiculous. So one of the guys I have my eye on this year, and I know you keep track of all the college guys, the junior guys, those seasons are going to be getting underway sooner. And again, you said the Checkers, they only have 2 games under their belt so far, but one guy that we want to watch a lot to see how he develops and can he be the power forward that we want him to be is Julien Gauthier. What has he done so far in the AHL this year? Has he scored? Can you tell at all if he's been a physical presence? Like, where's the ceiling on this guy? Because I'd say right now his stock seems like it's almost at an all-time low.
Yeah, for sure. I think recency bias definitely has something to do with that. And that's really through no fault of anybody's. But I think that he had a tough adjustment to a league that relies on speed and not just, I'm the biggest player out there, I will run you over, like Gauthier was used to in the queue. He has an assist so far. I can't remember if it's a primary or secondary assist. It doesn't really matter. It's just 2 games into the season. He seems definitely, just from what I noticed in Traverse City and in training camp this year, he just seems more physically mature this year, which is hard to believe. But he also seems quicker and smarter. And I think that those are the 2 things that he really needed to work on, because he wasn't overly quick last year. And his decision-making was just kind of below average, I'm going to be honest. You know, he isn't great with the puck unless he's shooting. And so I think you'll kind of notice him maybe taking a smarter approach this season and start to get more goals that aren't just nice wrist shots. You'll see him knocking in rebounds in the place formerly occupied by Valentin Zikov, and expect a better season from him, but expect him to kind of fly under the radar until the very end of the season. And I think he'll go on a bit of a tear.
Okay. Good. Good. I mean, I know we're still excited, and, you know, in terms of recency, we all want to see, you know, guys like that are drafted high in the first round immediately show up and put up 2 goals in their first couple of games in the National Hockey League like Svech has. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in the previous drafts that have not made their appearance. Thinking about guys like Jake Bean. Is this going to be the year that Jake Bean finally figures it out? Or is Jake Bean going to be the modern-day Ryan Murphy we none of us want?
Well, I don't think he's going to be Ryan Murphy.
Ooh, less because than Ryan Murphy. Those are hard harsh words, Soma.
No, I think that he's going to be better because he's getting the AHL time that Murphy never got. He's getting the AHL time right after juniors, which is what he needs. You know, he doesn't have the defensive skill set to play in the NHL right now, and you can kind of see that. You know, he still looks a little lost in the defensive end, but he's a lot better. And I think that as far as just a talent standpoint goes, I think Bean's just better already. And he doesn't have any points through 2 games, but don't read much into that. I think that they really want him to focus more on completing his all-around game rather than just lighting up the AHL by just, you know, shooting and taking the puck coast to coast, because that's not going to work. It worked in his draft year, but they've been trying to get him away from that. And so I think that Bean might take another 2 years in the AHL, including this one. So he'll probably play next year in the AHL too, just because they want him to get as adjusted as possible. And if Fleury continues to do okay, you know, there might not even be a spot for him on the left side. So I don't know. I think that Bean's going to be really good. I think that he might have he'll have a decent season in the AHL, but I think you'll start to see his defensive game really grow, especially in this system under Mike Vellucci.
That would be really good to see. So, Matt, I know a lot of people could define prospects different ways. We read Corey Pronman's rankings of all the prospects and other sites who talk about prospects. The way I want to phrase this question is guys who aren't in the NHL right now, because you could obviously still define guys who are Calder eligible as prospects if you want to. But I want to ask you whether it's a guy who could maybe make the jump later this year based on trades or injuries or anything like that, or a guy who might still be a couple years away from making an impact in the NHL. What or who are you most excited about and why?
We'll go with the guy that we haven't talked about yet, Morgan Geekie.
Is it his murderous intent in the team headshot that does it for you?
I mean, it definitely was a little threatening for sure. I just think that he also, you know, I know Mike got on me last year for this, but his wrist shot is for sure NHL ready. I mean, there's no denying that his shot is NHL ready. His speed, average, and, you know, he's a great playmaker, and they want him to work a little bit in the defensive end, but I think, you know, he is going to be probably one of our best AHL prospects this season, that at least our best AHL rookie. And that's not a knock on, you know, a guy like Jake Bean or Cliff Poo or anything like that. It's just Geekie is good, and he's more than ready for the NHL or AHL. I think that if you were to see a center get called up that isn't Nick Waugh, I think you're going to look at maybe seeing Geekie if, you know, anything happens to a guy like Walmark or something. I think you could see Geekie get called up before the end of the season.
So we've talked a lot about prospects and the folks down in the A, but let's take a little bit of a swing over to a little college hockey. While I know college hockey has not officially tipped off in any capacity, the Canes have two very high-end prospects playing for the Crimson up at Harvard this year in Adam Fox and future captain Chris Jack Drury. I have assigned it to him. That's his nickname.
Okay.
Chris Jack.
It's catchy.
Yeah, it is. It's not Seabass, but it's still catchy. Yeah. So in those two guys, what should Carolina Hurricanes fans begin to seek out watching the Harvard Crimson this season on their stream of choice? And what should we be looking for out of those two young chaps?
I mean, you can expect roughly a point per game season from Fox, because he's done it already. He did it his freshman year and almost did it last year while missing time because of the World Juniors and just like a minor injury that he had. You're going to get a guy who, I know Pronman and a couple other scouts admit that he's not the fastest player and he's just kind of an average skater, but for whatever reason, that doesn't matter for him, because he can make plays happen almost as well as pretty much any forward in not only the NCAA, but the NHL too. He's just such a good playmaker, and you watch him in the World Juniors playing against elite competition, and he is probably the most dangerous defenseman out there on any roster. And so I think that that's, you know, I think Adam Fox was one of the guys I really liked in 2016, and I was upset that we basically drafted three players that aren't that great. But I was really excited that we got him, because I know that Fox can be such a dynamic player, and he's probably going to be NHL ready next season at the earliest. And then in Drury, I guess, he's probably going to be a little bit more of a project than most second-round picks are. But as soon as he gets faster, he's going to be a really good offensive player. And I think he could slot in really well in a team's middle six if you give him 2-3 years in college to work on his speed. Because, I mean, he had like a – I think it was a 40-game point streak or something ridiculous in the USHL, just breaking records. And, you know, you look at him, and he's not the fastest player, but he can still make plays happen. And I think that, you know, if he does end up working on his speed and getting up to an NHL pace, he could be a really – like a easily a 40-point scorer. Yeah, so he's definitely probably the second – prospect in the NCAA that I'm excited for, like the second most excitement.
Hey, we'll take that. So, Matt, I think the last question that I have for you is a little bit of a comparison between some guys who are in the AHL right now, or one, and two who are currently in the NHL, though one hasn't played the last game or two. You have to pick one of three guys to put on the Hurricanes right now. Who are you taking?
Okay.
Zikov, PDG, or Yanne Kuokkanen?
Zikov,
eh?
And it's just one of the three, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could even change it up. So, you know, you could throw Brock McGinn in there and then take two of the four, right? And it's an interesting spot that the Carolina Hurricanes are in because we do finally have depth in that bottom six and guys who can absolutely fill roles. So, you know, neither PDG nor Zikov, and maybe to even a lesser extent McGinn, have really been spark plugs yet. McGinn's been pretty decent on the penalty kill. But of those four, who are the two that you are picking? Let's take it a step further. Who are the two who are going to be on the roster for Game 82 as opposed to today?
So I definitely think that Zikov will be on the roster. I think that he's had a bit of a weird adjustment to start the season, but I don't think he's been terrible. I just think that Nachas for the first two games was kind of searching for offense and just kind of searching for, you know, what it could, you know, just the NHL in general. And it was just an adjustment period, and I get it. PDG, you're saying that, you know, neither he or McGinn have been spark plugs. And I would argue that McGinn has, or PDG has been a plug, these few games, and he's been there. And I've said this before, I still don't understand why PDG keeps getting a contract, because I get that he's a good 13th forward, but you can get another guy like that easily. And I don't really care for him as a player, because I don't think he brings a lot offensively to the table. And I think that with Nachas, you need to surround him with players that can produce offensively and also play a little bit of defense. So I think that if you want, ask me to keep two guys in the NHL right now, I'd say leave Quoke in the AHL to dominate for a little while, get him another great season. Just he's 20 in the AHL. And he has 4 points already. He's doing fine. Just leave him in there for a little while. I think that he's there game 82 when McGinn is a player shipped out in a deadline deal.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Lots of deals to still be talked about, because, again, the Carolina Hurricanes have a bevy of defensemen that not only are coming up in the next couple of years, but are seemingly stacked with the seven who are currently residing in Raleigh. So, Matt, this has been great. Thank you so much. Tell the folks where they could find all of your coverage for Canes prospects, and specifically tell them how they can get your in-depth coverage delivered directly to their inboxes.
So if you would like my just regular plain old coverage, you can follow at Canes prospects. I think that's the best place where you can just get quick little updates on how our prospects are doing and just the occasional in-depth analysis that fits in 280 characters. I also write for Calm Before the Storm at CBTS97 on Twitter. That's the only at. The other one's little conspiracy theory. So CBTS97 is the one for the hockey blog. And, you know, I do some stuff for them. I know we have a lot of stuff over there that relates to the Canes, relates to the NHL in general, and just a bunch of fun stuff. And then if you want in-depth stuff, I'm also on Patreon. I have a Patreon that's been up for just about 2 months now. I do NHL draft coverage, a little bit of prospect coverage that for the Hurricanes and just around the NHL. And, you know, each month patrons get prospect profiles on not only NHL draft prospects that are eligible in 2019, but some guys that are overagers, some guys that have already been drafted, and just, you know, some other stuff around there. And I also write for Dauber Prospects and for Nashville Predators. And that's just, you know, some quick little updates on their prospects. So, there's a lot.
Well, folks, I know we are currently Patreon subscribers at patreon.com/MattSoma12. That is SOMMA12. Matt will figure out plugging stuff. You know, that's that next course that you take after you figure out how to leave Marty Natchez again out of a prospect conversation. So it's going to be a running gimmick from now on, Matt. We're not going to bring up any questions that may actually lead you to the answer being Marty Natchez, because again, good. I think what, a couple of months ago we asked you about prospects, and you know, you just left.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
So, it's your it's hashtag brand for you now, and we're not going to throw you any softballs. Patreon.com/MattSoma12, at CBTS97, and at Canes Prospects. If you're not following them, go follow Matt today. Matt, you're a scholar and a gentleman, sir. We wish you the best of luck, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thank you, guys. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. Take
Appreciate
care, Matt.
It, Matt.
See you, buddy. Hey, guys. Big thanks to Matt Soma for joining us on last night's Cheaters Never Win. This is normally the spot where Derek and I do something quippy and then go into cheat mail, but as many of you know, Hurricane Michael blew through yesterday, causing a lot of power outages, and between the time we actually had finished doing cheat mail and were able to hit the send button, the power flickered here in the worldwide headquarters, and we lost all of the cheat mail and last night's bottle mix beer review. So rather than having to wait to re-record everything, we're going to go ahead and get this podcast out for you today on Friday. And then this weekend, we'll record a special addendum cheat mail update, as well as we'll have to drink another beer. You know, shocking. But we'll get that review up. So again, thank you guys for listening. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to Don with Fathom Realty. Thanks to Bottle Mix. And thanks to all of you guys for listening. We really do appreciate it. Be on the lookout for the cheat mail addendum. We may just erase what I've done here and re-add that cheat mail back on and make this one contiguous episode. But we didn't want to not get this out to you guys before the Canes go back on the road this weekend. So thanks as always for listening. You know where to find us, section328.com, section_328 over on the Twitters. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're at patreon.com/section328, where you can get all sorts of good Patreon rewards. And as always, we couldn't do this without you guys. So we really do appreciate it. We hope everybody has a great Friday. For those of you who don't have power, why are you wasting your battery on this? Save your battery. And hopefully things go well soon. But until then, my name's Mike. If Derek were here, that would tell you that his name is Derek. I think it still is, but he's not here, so I can't confirm. But everybody have a great day. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.